Good morning. Let's start off with another round of applause for God. So before I get into today's message, I was asked to share something with you. On May 27th, our dear brother Raymond Chang was called home to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. The family has given us permission to let you all know that funeral services for Ray will be held this coming Friday, June 17th, at Dodo Mortuary Chapel in Hilo. Visitation will be held from 4 to 5 p.m. with services to follow. And, you know, like James had said, the counts are still going up, and just good practice. The family is requesting that face masks be worn, and of course, we observe social distancing. All right. So, like James had said earlier, we just got back from the mainland, and I found it very fitting because, you see, we have this backup plan that in case any one of the pastors or the speakers gets, you know, is not feeling well or gets sick, we have, like, this bank of backup messages that we can refer to. So I had written this message quite a while ago, actually, like several months back. And so, you know, I had all my wording down. I had everything typed up. It was my backup. It's something I can always refer to. And didn't know that I would be doing that this week, so I'm going to have you bear with me, because at 7:30 last night, God decided, no, we're going to change it. So, but I found it very fitting because the title of my message today is, How Are You Going to Get There? So, like James had said, you know, we had just returned from a trip. We attended a conference along with Pastor Scott, Christy, Walt, and Vivian in Florida for about a week. We all learned so much. We took so much away from it, things that we can apply in our personal lives as well as our church lives. You know, it was really eye-opening at just showing me exactly that exactly where I am is where I indeed needed to be. After the conference, my James and I, you know, since we've been together, we never went anywhere, never went on a trip, never flew anywhere. Every time we're flying, it's because of the kids, doctors, you know, something. So this is our first chance in the last 13 years to actually just go, and he and I spend time together. And we could have gone anywhere, but my husband chose to have us go to Texas so that I could get to meet the family that I never met before. You know, with traveling, you plan ahead. You gotta have your destination. You have to have your instructions on how to get there. You know, you start with your flights, your ground transportation. You make sure you have your luggage ready. You know, extra luggage for all the stuff you're gonna buy before you come home. You know, as for James, you know, you gotta make sure you have extra socks. Thank you. You see, you guys knew where I was going. I did. I bought him one whole extra pair of socks here and up there. you know, you get your luggage tags, you get your flights all squared away, your hotels, but most importantly, you line up where you're going to eat. And, well, at least I do anyway. Because, you know, you're not going to go someplace far just for eat at McDonald's. You want to eat someplace that no more over here. Now, while we were in Florida, Christy was awesome at being pastor's navigator. She had her GPS out. You know, she told us exactly where we needed to go. We got to Burlington and Ross, you know, in a minimal time. She was so great. And then when we got to Florida, to Texas, I was the navigator. I wasn't so great at it because it's hard to be the navigator because those of you who have been to Texas, you know that there's the road, and then there's another road above it, and then there's another road above that, and it's like a whole thing. And I'm not scared of heights, but those roads were extremely steep, so it's hard to navigate when you're doing this and trying to tell your husband where to go. And, you know, because we're scared that we're going to drive off the side of these road things. So anyway, we made it through, obviously, because we're here. But last night, as I was going through the message, it really made me thankful for the GPS. And you know, it's hard because we don't have that in our walk with Christ. We don't have a GPS that we can just type in, okay, heaven, how do I get there? We don't have that. Whereas, you know, we can type in a regular GPS, Ross, you know, go Makaala Street. I know exactly where it is. Easy. But today we're going to cover three ways that will help get us on the track and help to show us how we're going to get there. Your first point this morning is, I have it only as believe in the Lord, but I want you to add in there, if you can, believe and trust in the Lord. Acts 16, verses 30 to 31 says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit because this scripture comes about just after there was a huge earthquake that caused the doors of these jail cells to come flying open and the chains that were on the prisoners to come breaking off. Now, Paul and Silas, who were in jail at the time, stayed there while the jailer was asleep. As soon as these things happened, the jailer awoke, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself because he knew that shortly the guards would be coming down and would kill him for letting all these prisoners get away. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in jail and the doors all came flying off, chains came flying off, I know we would all dig out, guarantee we would all run. But Paul and Silas didn't. They stayed. And the guard turns to them and asks them for help. You know, believe. He asks them, what do I do to be saved? And they tell him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Why did Paul stay? Why did they stay? When they very well could have run. The guard was asleep, their ACO, he wouldn't have known. But they stayed because the jailer meant more to than their freedom. And so do you. We all do. Now, as I was going through the message last night, I had just finished preparing the youth ministry packet for next week. And I had this, you know, youth ministry, how do I get the kids to learn kind of mentality in my brain. So that's going to be tied in today's message with some quotes from a very wise doctor that I grew up with, and so did most of you. None other than Dr. Seuss. So my first quote from Dr. Seuss is, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. King Solomon, wise man, here he teaches us to lean not on our own understanding. In fact, those very words would have been utterly impossible had it not been preceded by the words trust in the Lord. To lean not on your own understanding requires us to consciously choose to put our minds and own selfish thoughts and ambitions and desires into a state of atrophy. To fully understand this scripture, we must also understand the antithesis of it. To lean on our own understanding is to trust in ourselves and the present world for everything that we need, work for, and aspire to be. Choosing our own understanding essentially means that we would feel no want or desire for and from God, nor do we care for what he promises. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't do that. I need God. How can you not acknowledge God in the sound of the rain falling on your roof? The sound of your child saying mom or dad? The sound of your husband telling you goodbye in the morning when he leaves for work. That's all from God. So how are we going to get there?
Your second point this morning is repent. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, in contrast with death, Paul explains that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The verse is not speaking of a physical death, but is contrasting the spiritual death with eternal life. The person who does not place his or her faith in Jesus Christ will receive the wages of sin. The wages, of course, refers to a payment. Now, when a person works, the person receives a wage or payment for the work. For example, James wrote of the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields. That was in James 5:4. 1 Corinthians 3:8, and these aren't up there. That teaches us that each will receive his wages according to his labor. Those whose work is sin will receive a payment of spiritual death, which is ultimately eternal separation from God in hell. While this is a dreadful situation, the verse immediately includes an answer to this problem. Through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, the gift of eternal life is given. It is not earned through human effort, like it's in Ephesians 2:8-9. But is instead freely given through God's grace because of what Jesus did on the cross, dying as a substitute for our sin. You're not alone. We all sin. Try as we might, we still sin. Still thinking it's just you, but no, it's not. We all do. Even the Bible tells us so. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Here we go with Dr. Seuss again. "You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win?" That last sentence, how much can you lose? How much can you win? It's kind of like where we are in our walk. You know, we have all these worldly things that make us feel comfortable and, you know, accomplished. And to die to yourself, to take up your cross, to follow God, means to get rid of all these things, get rid of your comfortable things, and just trust in him to lead you, guide you, and support you along your way. Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." The act of repentance is a conscious decision to confess that Jesus is Lord and believing that he was undoubtedly raised from the dead. Now, we mentioned Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9 earlier. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Understanding repentance is furthered by exactly that. Realizing what a wonderful gift it is that God gave us and continues to give us. Grace. There is nothing that we could have done or have not done that would ever cause him to love us any more or any less. So how do we get there? Your third point this morning: surrender your life to him. Dr. Seuss helps us here again. "I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win because you'll be playing against you." Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Hanoho, one more time from Paul. We must be related on my Portuguese side, I think, because we both talk plenty. So End of April, I had started with a cold. I came home with a cold. And, of course, James and Genesis ended up with the sniffles. And I thought it just to be a cold. Janaya was on her way to the prom. And so one of the requirements for her to attend the prom was that she needed to go and get a test, of, you know, make sure she was negative for COVID. And because I was, of course, now my nose running and I'm trying to talk, but I had tested too because I was there. And it was negative. Janaya was negative. I was negative. So I thought it to be nothing more than a cold. And so when James and Genesis ended up with the sniffles, I said, yeah, it's just a cold. Until they didn't get better. In fact, they got worse. And, you know, because of the cancer, their compromised immune system, they got really bad. Genesis, however, you know, she started to get better, but James kept getting worse. He must be related to Paul, too, because good God Almighty, he is stubborn. He finally agreed to go to the urgent care to get tested and for help. And he took the COVID test. He was positive. Took Genesis in, positive. Took Janaya in, positive. But she was asymptomatic. Me and Josiah both tested. It was both negative. The reason I'm telling you this is because separating myself from them, quarantining, isolating, was one of the hardest things to do. The devil tried his best in that season of our lives. He tried his best to separate us in every way possible. It came to a point where James had even accused me of not caring that he was sick. Men. It's not socks, it's not caring. In that very instant, tears rolling down my face, I rebuked that devil because there was 100% from him. You see, he will use your weakest moments. He will separate you. He will isolate you. And he will beat you down and break your heart over and over and over again. All for his pleasure. If you let him. You see, when you truly surrender your life to God, placing all your faith, your hope, your trust in him, you can decipher and deflect the tricks of the enemy and continue on in the peace that Paul speaks of, knowing full well that your heart and mind are guarded in Christ Jesus. Another Dr. Seussism. But on you will go through the though the weather be foul, on you will go though your enemies prowl. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. No one ever said it would be easy. In fact, it is very plainly written here that we will indeed have tribulation. So how are we going to get there? By choosing to believe and trust in the Lord. Repenting as often as we can for anything that is not of and for him and his glory, and surrendering our lives to him. Now this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to repent and to choose God. And if you're so willing, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you said that prayer for the first time, I'd like you to raise a hand. I'd like to pray for all of you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to lean on you and to learn from you.
Thank you for guiding us in the ways that we should go. Thank you for leading us in your loving grace. Father, I ask that for everyone here, you have your way within their lives. You create within them a light that is undimmable and unextinguishable. We love you, Lord. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Now, one more thing I want to leave you with. And of course, it's from our dear old friend, Dr. Seuss. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain, your rock is waiting. So get on your way.
Thank you, love. That was a great message. Man, and I gotta speak 2 weeks after her. I don't know how I'm gonna do it now. All right, let us stand and give our Lord praise. But before we do that, I just wanna have more prayer. I wanna pray for our pastors and everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day given us. Father, I just lift up Pastor Scott and his family. Father, I lift up Pastor Aaron and his family. And I lift up the Chang Ohana. We just pray that you give them comfort, peace. And we just love you for all you're doing in our lives. We give you all the praise and glory. In your son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who